Then he described the occupational duties of different orders and statuses of life, citing instances from history, for he was himself well acquainted with the truth. Purport. Incidents mentioned in the Vedic literatures, such as the Puranas, Mahabharata, and Ramayana, are factual historical narrations that took place sometime in the past, although not in any chronological order. Such historical facts, being instructive for ordinary men, were assorted without chronological reference. Besides that, they happen on different planets, nay, in different universes, and thus the description of the narrations is sometimes measured by three dimensions. We are simply concerned with the instructive lessons of such incidents, even though they are not in order by our limited range of understanding. Bhishma Dev described such narrations before Maharaj Yudhisthira in reply to his different questions.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakata Mahyam Tathati Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrasatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitams Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Dama Hare Dama Rama Rama Hare Hare Dharmartha Kama Mokshams Cha Sahopayan Yata Mune Nanakyan Eti Hasheshu Varnayamasa Tattvavit. Tattvavit, Bhishma Dev is expert in everything. Specifically, he has been describing Dharmartha Kama Moksha, the four purusharthas, or goals of human life. The beginning is to follow principles of prescribed duties according to the varnas and ashramas. By this method, one can earn one's livelihood, artha. And when these things are in order, one can satisfy one's reasonable desires, kama. And finally, one aspires to moksha, or liberation from the cycle of birth and death. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that the Pancham Purusharta, the fifth and highest necessity, is love of Godhead. Prema Pumartha Mahan, to revive one's loving relationship with Krishna. So dharmartha kama mokshamscha, the various departments of knowledge described so far by Bhishma Dev are summarized in these four categories. Saha upayan, along with the practical methods for discharging these duties. It's not meant to be theoretical. There has to be some means. What do I do? How do I perform my prescribed duties as a brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra? This is upaya, the means to perform one's duties. Yata, as they should be performed. And nanakyane tihasheshu. The Bhishma Dev described these things with reference to historical incidents. This is also practical. If we just describe things in theory, that's not as effective as describing them with reference to historical facts. We may say that one should develop humility, that one should develop fearlessness, that one should develop love for God. This is all very good. But when we hear the history of Prahlad Maharaj, then we see humility, we see fearlessness, we see love of God in actual fact. And it registers more effectively than generalities. So the Puranas and Itihasas are described as the fifth Veda. The 18 Puranas are there. Then the Ramayana and Mahabharata fall within the category of itihasa, histories. And these are all instructive. And that's the point. They're compiled not for the sake of covering the decades and centuries. That's how they teach history in school. At least when I went to school, I assume it hasn't changed that much. They teach you this war, and then they teach you that war, and then they teach you this decade, and they teach you that period, and on it goes. And they cover this person, and that person, and this person. It's all in historical order. And for the most part, it's useless. Or at least, as a student, I perceived it as useless. What is the point? You know, for the teachers, they're covering the material. That's the expression, covering the material. And for the students, they're prepping for the exams. But the substance of what they're taught falls in the grand category of who cares. It makes no difference. It's of no great import, except that if you know it, you're an educated person. But the Vedic histories are compiled not in chronological order, but in such a way as to instruct us about essential topics for spiritual realization. That's the point. So if we look for the historical thread in terms of chronology, we're likely to get lost, confused, or frustrated. Especially since, as Prabhupada points out here, the histories are given not only unchronologically, but without restriction to this particular planet. So, or this particular universe. Things are pulled in from different places. Because it doesn't matter. We don't care what planet, we don't care. It's got, just like history, you go to Ecuador and they'll teach you Ecuadorian history as if it mattered for the rest of the world. You go to any place else and it's the same story. Fiji, you'll cram the essential history of Fiji, which matters not at all to anyone else. So in this way, we focus on our territory, and of course, with such goals in mind as patriotism and other foolishness. But the Vedic literature disregards all this and pulls in the histories from wherever it's relevant. Even sometimes they're combined so that we get two boar incarnations, and the stories are sometimes merged somewhat, because we don't care that much about the history. We care about the glories of the Lord and his transcendental qualities. Yes, his relationship with his devotees. So, nanakyana itihasheshu. And Varnayamasa Tattvavit, he described all of these things. Particularly, yes, he described all of these topics. Today is also the disappearance day of Baladev Vidyabhushan. But who's the disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and a great acharya in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. He is famous especially for his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is called Govindapasha. Sometimes Vedanta is considered or misperceived to be the monopoly of the impersonalist school, but in fact there are great Vaishnava commentators on Vedanta Sutra. Ramanujacharya and other Madhvacharya, and so many. The Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote this commentary under notable circumstances. There was some controversy, dispute going on in Rajasthan regarding the worship of the Govinda deity. Govindadev had been in Vrindavan, but he was moved to Jaipur out of fear of the Muslim terrorism, as we would call it today. The deity was being worshipped by the Ramanandis, another sampradaya. And they, the Gaudiyas, said, well, this is our deity. And the Ramanandis replied that, no, you're not a bona fide sampradaya. You're not a legitimate lineage. How is that? You don't have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Every sampradaya has a commentary on Vedanta Sutra by which it distinguishes itself or sets forth its principles. So you don't have one, you don't count. Then the reply was that we have our commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhashyam Brahma Sutrana. We haven't written a commentary because we respect Srimad Bhagavatam as the original commentary on Vedanta Sutra by the same author. No, not good enough. That's just an excuse. Show your commentary or get lost. So then Baladev Vidyabhushan was called upon, and in very brief time he wrote this Govinda Bhasha under the inspiration or dictation of Govindadev, and so he called it Govinda Bhasha. And by his, in this way, the Gaudiya Sampradaya was established as legitimate, and we won. Baladevi Vidyabhushan has also written other commentaries, specifically a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada dedicated his Bhagavad Gita, as it is, to Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. And in fact, in Bhagavad Gita, as it is, Prabhupada mostly follows the commentary of Baladev Vidyabhushan. Baladev, in turn, follows the commentary of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But the commentaries are not identical. Sometimes things are seen from one point of view, sometimes from another, or sometimes simply repeated. So similarly in Prabhupada's commentary, Bhagavad Gita as it is, sometimes he pulls in something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, sometimes he brings in something from his personal experience in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Sometimes he brings in something from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sometimes other sources. But mostly he follows the commentary of Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. My godbrother Rabindra Swarup Prabhu quipped that in the academic circles or ordinary circles, this is called plagiarism. And in Krishna consciousness, this is called parampara. This is what the acharyas do. They plagiarize one another. That is, they repeat the same message. Because it's not that we prize innovation. More, we value transmission of the same ideas. It may sometimes be presented in a different way for a different audience, a different time and place, but the essential teachings are simply conveyed from one generation to the next, and that's the qualification of the Sampradaya Acharyas, where both are qualifications, that they present things suitably for the time and place and circumstances, and that they preserve the message as it is. Srila Prabhupada sometimes cited the saying, new wine in an old bottle. So the bottle may change, but the wine has to be preserved as it is. So in the same way, the essential teachings, the siddhantas or conclusions of Vaishnava philosophy are to be presented unchanged, but sometimes the package may vary from place to place. All right, we can stop here and see what questions there are.